אנחנו קוראים מכתבי בעל הסולם, מאמר שכל
הפועל. We are reading from articles of בעל הסולם. You can download this from Cop TV. It's called The Acting Mind. It's also in Kabbalah for the student on page 477. Once more, you can download it from Cop TV or ask questions. Chosen relevant questions will be asked live during the lesson. Article The Acting Mind, page 477 in Kabbalah for the student. Every person is obliged to attain the root of his soul. This means that the aspired for purpose of the created being is dvikut, adhesion with his qualities, as he is merciful. His qualities are the holy sefirot, and this is the acting mind that guides his world and by which it allots them his benevolence and abundance. But we must understand why this is called dvikut with the Creator, as it seems to be mere study. I shall explain it with an allegory. In every act in the world, the mind of its operator remains in that act. In a table, one can attain the carpenter's dexterity and deftness in his craft, whether great or small. This is so because while working, he built it according to his mind, the qualities of his mind. And one who observes this act and considers the mind imprinted in it during this act, he is attached to the mind that performed it. That is, they actually unite. This is so because, in fact, there is no distance and cessation between spirituals, even when they are in distinct bodies. But the mind in them cannot be distinguished, since what knife can cut the spiritual and leave it separated? Rather, the main difference between spirituals is in their qualities, praiseworthy or blameworthy, and the composition. Since a mind that calculates astrology will not cling to one that contemplates natural sciences, and there is a great diversity even within the same teaching. For if one exceeds another in even one element, it separates the spirituals from one another. But when two sages contemplate the same teaching and bear the same measure of sagacity, they are in fact united. For what separates them? Hence, when one contemplates another's actions and attains the mind of the sage who performed it, they have the same mind and power. Thus now, they are completely united, like a man who met his beloved friend on the street. He embraces him and kisses him, and for their utter unity, they cannot be separated. Hence the rule is that in the speaking, the mind is the best adjusted force between the Creator and his creatures. It is considered the medium, meaning he conferred a spark of that force, and through that spark, everything returns to him. And it is written, in wisdom has thou made them all, meaning that he created the whole world with his wisdom. Hence, one who is rewarded with attaining the manners by which he had created the world and its conducts is adhered to the mind that performed them. Thus he adheres to the Creator. This is the meaning of the Torah being all the names of the Creator, which belong to the creatures. And by the merit, the creature attains the mind that affects everything, since the Creator was looking in the Torah when he created the world. And one achieves illumination through creation and forever cleaves to that mind. Thus he is adhered to the Creator. Now we understand why the Creator has shown us his tool of craftsmanship. For do we need to create worlds? But from the above mention, we gather that the Creator has shown us his conducts so we may know how to adhere to him, which is cleaving unto his qualities.
It's a short article, but very, very essential, significant. It talks about the principle which is in the basis of our entire work. What does he say? What is the intermediator between the creature and the Creator? Precisely the mind. What is the mind? Mind is the point of contact between me as a creature and him as the Creator. In the middle, what's in between is this. It's unrelated to me or to him. It doesn't belong to me or to him. Why? Because the mind means that I, as an action, is connected to the operator, and I attain through that connection between his action and himself, the operator. So there's action, there's the operator, and the connection between the action and the operator is what's called mind. The mind which grasps the actions of the operator upon me, and that's how I attain him. Why? How could it be that I attain him? The Creator, Bore, means Bo and Re, come and see. What I attain is not his essence. It's only his attitude to me, towards me. That's why it is said, by your actions we know you. That is, from what is happening in me, as I find the operator within me that's doing what it's doing to me, that's how I know him. My action is eventually very simple. I need, wherever I find, whatever insight, discernment that I have in me, I have to find this root, which is there is none else besides him, which is good that does good. So if I achieve that decision, determination, from whatever point in me, if I find that there is none else besides him, and he's good that does good, it's a sign that I found the root, that I reached the root. That's how it is in each and every state. There is a phenomenon. From within the phenomenon, which is, of course, something that can look bad and opposite and unrelated to what should be, if I correct myself, first I think it's bad. If I correct myself to the point where I think it's good, and then I determine that the operator is good, that does good, and from thinking about various sources, I come to determine that there is none else besides him. So this is how I recognize the Creator. This is the meaning of the formulae they give us. Meaning, I contain everything needed to discover the Creator. A feeling that I can always research, I can always examine it, see whether it seems good or bad to me. Am I looking at it from a perspective of a receiver or a giver? How can I look at it objectively, independent of myself, which is through the group, through this means, and by that discover the real action, that it all happens for the better, and then who did it to me? Eventually, through all those searches and researches, I find the root. And it's all through the action that is done to me, and I research it. It's like he gives the example of a carpenter, that from looking at the table, you can understand what he thought, what for, and so on. In the same way, we can research creation without lacking anything about the Creator, because everything in his mind was expressed in matter. So through all forms of matter, we can come to his mind. And when we, in our minds, cling to his mind, that's called adhesion. Adhering to the Creator, or a simple adhesion. It's called the light of Chokhmah, clothed in the light of Chasadim, meaning to the extent we corrected ourselves to receive everything from him the way it is in him, meaning without any distortion that is happening through our will to receive. This means that we corrected our will to receive with the light of Chasadim. So then the light of Chokhmah, which is his mind, can be clothed in our light of Chasadim, which is called our corrected vessels, our clean, pure vessels, and then we attain his mind. Yes.
Quickly.
You said that we can attain the root, but not his essence. What's the difference?
The root is called what's working on me. What's above it, I don't know. I never feel it, and I can never attain it. I have no vessels for it or anything, because I am a result of the light, not a result of what's above it. And the light is already a phenomenon in the Kli, meaning I am a consequence, an action. And from that action, I can come to discover the root for that action. But still, it is revealed in the action itself. This is called the mind of the operator. I feel the operator towards me. How does it work towards me? Because it works towards me, but I attain the plan, the thought of how it worked on me. What doesn't have to do with me, I don't attain. There are more subtleties here in terms of how it's divided to the parts of the upper Keter and so on. We'll learn this from the Rosh HaVatzilut, where there is what's called Ad Lo Yada, all those issues there, Mochastima, Kuma Davira, Mocha Davira, all those elements in the Rosh HaVatzilut. However, there's above it as well. Atik is called Ne'etak, meaning detached, something we don't attain. Even when at the final correction, we only attain the Zat, we never attain the Gal, the first three Sfirot. Because from the first three Sfirot, there is an expansion in the vessels, and only that is what we attain. Meaning the mind of the operator is also, it's something he emphasizes here, the mind of the operator, not what belongs to himself.
Tomer from Jerusalem is saying, when we look at the world, we understand it in our mind.
This is why we need to undergo corrections. All the corrections are in order for us to clean our mind from all the nonsense we have in it, which is all in order to receive. That's our mind. That's why we can't see, detect, identify, and grasp him correctly. And as we undergo a correction of chasadim, We basically simply raise ourselves above our will to receive, becoming suitable to perceive the light of Chokhmah, his mind.
Max from Dnepropetrovsk is asking, what is the root of the mind of the Creator and what is the root of the mind of the creature?
The thought of creation. It's the thought of creation to benefit the creatures.
What is the initial point in this process according to the sketch? What do I need to do?
We talked about it many times. At the end, we're researching ourselves. We're studying ourselves. We're studying who we are. What am I? Who am I? And as a result, I learn who is he? What is he? That is what is written. From your actions, we know you. What is your actions? That's me. I am his action. Yes, you're looking at me, so know that I'm the action.
So what do I need to learn by myself?
You need to learn who you are.
How do I do that?
That is towards something that is outside of you. Outside you is if you position the group, and it's something you have to build. It's not there. If you stabilize the group towards which you begin to examine yourself as a vessel towards the light, then you begin researching the actions of the Creator. This is done to the extent that a person can bear it. To the extent he wants this to happen. That's what we're doing.
Dan from Northern Tel Aviv is asking, where does the emotion connect to the feeling?
The feeling is our matter. The mind is the means by which we research the emotion. Between each and every feeling, there is an intellect. Our vessel is a vessel of impression. But we have to measure that impression. Feel it, recognize it, understand the causes for it, why and how it happens, what is the impression we would like to achieve, what's the difference between the desired and the present state, how do we come to the desired state. That's the mind. Yes.
Moshe from Los Angeles is asking, how do we realize this acting mind between the friends?
It's that we decide about our reciprocal activity, our mutual action. Our desire is to recognize the Creator. We all wish to discover the Creator. These people have come together. Those people who ask, what is the point in life, what's the meaning of it all, and all of this. We have to process it into a simple question, knowing who we are and what is our life for, what's our destiny. And we can do that only if we discover the operator, because everything results from him. So we all want to know him. How do we get to know him? First, we have a mutual goal and direction. This is what we want. Now, we come together for that purpose. As a result, following that, we have to determine our order of actions. How to discover him? We discover him, meaning we get to know him according to what? Can a dog know me? Only to the extent of a dog. Can a bird know me? Only to the extent of a bird. If I wish to recognize the Creator, I can recognize him only to the extent that I have similar mutual qualities to him. So I have to transform myself. I don't know where and how, but it has to be towards similarity with him. Then I'll understand him. It's like you're telling your friend, listen, you don't understand me. If you don't understand, it means that there's no similarity. You want to do something, he wants to do the opposite. There's no understanding mutually. So what do we have to do? Change ourselves. How do we change ourselves? We don't change our mind. We don't have any touch to it. We change our desire. That's our matter. When our matter will be exactly like the Creator's, we will begin to research His actions on us correctly, understanding what He's really doing, not in a twisted, distorted way, falseful way. So firstly, I have to correct my kli, because in the present kli, I'm getting things that are not what he sends me. I don't know that. I have to raise myself to a level where I'm not dependent on anything, so I can absorb his influence the way it is. So, in accordance with the equivalence of form that I achieve to him, I begin to feel what I really get from him in my mind and in my emotion. I already have the emotion that is aimed at receiving what is coming from him. Meaning, if I see that I already get only good from him, and it's purposeful goodness, as it is explained in the article about the freedom of choice and other articles, that the Creator's attitude towards us is a purposeful attitude, a purposeful relation. It's like towards a, it's like a fruit that develops and ripens. As much as it needs to be sweet at the end, it has to take on various bitter forms as it develops. And it's the same with us. So I have to perceive the correct sensations from him that could be bitter. And along with it, in my feeling and mind, I have to be ready to decipher them correctly, to interpret everything as purposeful. So who is wise? One who sees the outcome. How do you come to see the outcome? I was never there at the end, right? And there's none as wise as he who's experienced. So what is demanded of me? How will I jump to the end and see it? If I was at the end, then I can see what I see now and say, okay, it's connected to the end's purpose. The fact that it's bitter now, it'll make it sweet at the end, and I have to go through these states. But if I don't know that, if I don't know the sweetness of the end, where will I take that discernment from? That's why there are actions called in order to bestow that are above our will to receive. That's how I determine above my will to receive that something is called bitter to my will to receive or sweet to it. And it's a part of the purpose. That's how I advance.
Regarding what we just spoke about, in the article, The Essence of Religion, Rav Bala Salam writes, the providence of the Creator on the reality He created is a purposeful one, without taking into account the order of the steps of development. Because even more so, His way is to cheat us and to distance us from understanding its goal. which usually our forms appear to be opposite our final state. And so we say there is none wiser than the experienced. Because only one who has experience, who has the purpose to see the creation in all its stages of development until its final wholeness, he can come to states where he does not fear at all from all those corrupted forms which the creation grasps onto and during its development, and only its final form of beauty and wholeness.
Well, there's a lot more to explain about the end result, the ripe state of creation, but that's our work. Yeah. Yes, Chaim.
Rav, I just want to go back to one of the points Oren brought up regarding suffering. We come to a certain point where this work is always unpleasant.
No, it depends if you're ready. If you are ready and you see that good comes as a result of this, then it's not suffering. Then you're excited. You're inspired. The suffering is not measured by what's in the kli. It's measured by what the kli is connected to. It's two different things. Perhaps I am in horrible hunger now, but I'm seeing the table and the meal on it, and I know that we're going to eat soon, so I'm happy about that feeling of emptiness and hungry the hunger that I feel. Meaning, to the extent that the surrounding lights shine on my situation, although I don't have inner light, I have surrounding light. And I know that this surrounding light is in my control. It will become internal light eventually. That's the whole issue. And we are not thinking about it. We are only checking whether we have something inside. So then we can't overcome our states. Because the states we go through are bitter states. It's like a fruit that has to ripen. It's like a baby that has to grow. As it grows, as it develops, it looks dumb. In our world, it seems like a baby is cute and silly, and we like it, we love it, because we know that it grows to a good state. And because it grows on an egoistic level plane only, from little ego to bigger ego, so it just keeps adding. Looks like an addition. But in the spiritual world, if we want to advance, it doesn't look like an addition. Rather, what happens is, you go higher and higher above the ego, against the ego. So then it seems to you that you're not adding anything, that you're decreasing, that you're losing. That's why you need force to protect yourself against greater and greater suffering, because the darkness becomes greater and greater, and you build yourself with your protective force, with your masach, chafetz chesed, higher and higher. That's how you grow. So our advancement is obviously not egoistic, where you constantly see, I got more than I had to yesterday, and the day after I have even more, and then more and more. It doesn't work like that. It all happens in a straight way and opposite way. And that's why we have to strengthen ourselves and strengthen the society, the group, and bring ourselves to our vut, mutual guarantee. Only with the power of mutual guarantee we can approach this progress and rise from one degree to the next. A person himself has no strength to attain these degrees. It's impossible. It's only by the force of bestowal, which is received from inclusion in the group. So you ask, how can we do it? You can't. Yes.
Regarding incorporation in the group, a student from Washington asks, the advice is always to turn to the group. Well, what does this mean? I'm watching lessons with them, I sing with them, dissemination with them, meals, but in my thoughts I remain an egoist. And my thoughts are horrible compared to them, yes, and my attitude to them. When will this change?
Becoming integrated with the group means that I wish to come to a common, shared desire. I don't have a desire of my own. I don't have goal of my own. I don't have my own knowledge, my own... In short, as one man in one heart. That is, I don't even want to think based on my own head, on my own feelings. I want them to be shared, mutual. I don't know what it is, but it's something that's connected to all. To the extent that we're connected that way, just as having one head and one heart, that's called a group. Otherwise, it's not called a group. And as a result of that connection, we can advance. Simple.
A student from Israel asks, in what will we feel the surrounding lights in the convention, and how do we turn them into internal lights?
The mutual influence that exists in the convention, the integration and the influence of one upon the other is so great that if one comes with a desire, with an intention to use that force of awakening so greatly, the force which lies there, he can really come closer to others. I'm talking about internal work, about inner efforts. Everyone according to their degree, it doesn't matter. But one can connect to the others in a way that he begins to feel the common mind and feeling. And in that shared mind and feeling, you find all the souls that in our world have already attained all the spiritual degrees. As we connect, and even if it's just a slight percentage of connection that we have, it already integrates us with the general system of all the souls, and then they all influence us. So all the Kabbalists of all the generations, those called prophets, everyone, they already work with us. We enter their zone. And then we begin to live with them, to share one mind and heart with them. And as babies, it doesn't matter to what extent, but we already have mutual mind and heart with them, and we come to attain, perceive that common soul. And that connection that we acquire stays. Even if later there are times where it disappears from our emotions, it's already recorded, as if we got it. In spirituality, if you got something, it's there, it's registered. Perhaps it disappears from you in order to reach a higher degree, but that part is already yours. Yes, Mushi.
Yesterday, I was in a pharmacy. I bought pills, and it was written, like, it was a whole guide there, how to take the pills. And at the end, it says, yeah, you'll feel well, yes.
But there's a warning there as well, right? Like a caution that tells you, take it only according to the doctor's instructions, right? To the prescriptions. You read that as well, right?
Of course.
Good. So tell me, please, why does it write? Why so many things? Maybe they just want to, you know, cover their responsibility, so you won't demand them anything in return. They write on it, you can't breathe it, you can't put it next to your eyes, you can't do this or this or that. A thousand things. But why do they write it? If they write anyway, you can't take it without the instructions of the doctors. So why did they still write detailed instructions of use for you? Okay, continue later. I'll talk about it later.
Well, I don't understand these politics, yeah, but here we also see many instructions. You'll come to a state of good and good that does good. There's none else besides Him, the Creator. Sometime I'll reach this state where I'll see these things. Why don't they give me practical advice? How do I reach this state? Or maybe you tell me you have to search on your own. That's clear, okay. We see it. We learn these articles, these books, and they're only telling me about the state that I'll feel when my desire changes. How to change the desire, there's no advice. I don't see, at least.
This is a complete false. It's shocking to me. I don't understand how it could be that in the Torah, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, you don't see exactly what we need to do. It is said, love thy friend as thyself.
It's a phenomenon.
What phenomenon?
That I'll feel something sometime.
No, it tells you what you need to do. You need to do love between you and others. That's it. Now you can ask how, in what steps, in what measures, how do I do it? So it is said, the Creator brings the person to the group, to the right environment, and it tells him, take it, puts your hand on the good fate, and what follows is your only free choice, to strengthen towards the group, to connect with the group, to nullify yourself before the acknowledgement of the goal. And the goal itself, what do we connect for, what are we working for? And Rabash and all the others give you a ton of advices. If you want, make a list of them. Why don't they write it as a list? I'll tell you. If you write it as a list without all sorts of stories around it, you won't be able to remember anything, because our mind is built in a descriptive way. I can remember a sketch or a diagram, but if you turn that diagram into codes, of lines of code, I won't remember it, because our matter is emotion, and we can label that emotion with different forms, emotional forms, but we cannot put intellectual laws on it. Man grasps a depiction, a picture. You know, it's like in computers. In the screen that you're looking at, there's a lot of math. Lots of numbers and formulae. We don't see them. Why not see the numbers instead of the image? I can't get it. My mind doesn't connect it. My mind only gets the image. You know, even in the modern combat jets, there's, besides the digital numbers all over the place, there's always an analog dial. You know, because eventually he looks at all of this, and for him, for the pilot, it's a picture. But if he looks at a number, he needs to think, wait a minute, the number is bigger or lower, and he'll get confused right away. He can't gauge it. So they give it to us as a picture. It sounds like I'm defending Baal Salam and Rabash. But the thing is, they told us many stories and articles on each and every degree and so on, so that we get different impressions. But otherwise, you look at a formula and you say, wait a minute, I read that already. And you'll get no impression from that. If it's like a story, you clothe yourself with the story, and as a result you draw the conclusions. So your claim is like, why doesn't it say simply like a user manual, you know, like a cooking manual? Take this, heat it up, put it in the microwave, cut it like this, cut it like that, and so on. You wouldn't be able to perform anything. Along with it, try to write it like that if you want. But the actions are written. It's man's nullification before the group.
Okay, what you just explained is fairly clear. But still, with all this whole depiction, all the Kabbalist's advice is a phenomena which I have to reach. Let's say we learned, you must relate to the friend as one and you're a zero. I can't do that, though. It's not that I don't understand that. It's just, I mean, I can understand advice in this world. You know, I sometimes ask you sometimes, let's say, and then it's clear to me what to do. I go and do it.
It depends on what you interpret as a friend. Who's a friend? A friend is one you determined that you're going to connect with, because through the connection with you discover the Creator. It's not just a person who's here or someone working in your factory or something like that. A friend meaning a person that I can truly share the same mind, the same goal with him devotedly. I examined and selected him, and that's my friend. Now I'm always thinking, how will I share the same mind with him towards the goal? In other things, perhaps I disagree with him. Like he likes fish, I like meat. So what? And it's the same with regards to many phenomena besides the goal. That's where I want to connect with him. Not in other things. Who knows what other things the friend has. Maybe so many perversions that who knows. But towards the goal, we have a mutual thing. I'm not going to fix everyone's characteristics or things that I don't even know and I don't care. What we care is what we call the sparks, those points in the hearts. That's what I connect with. That's called my friend. Is there a spark in a person? That is my friend. What's my friend? My spark's friend with his spark.
That's clear as well. The question is simple. Why the advice they give me, I can't do?
Because you're not doing them. You're not doing them. You're not following them. You're not depicting. You're not depicting this picture. And that's why you're not even starting to perform it, to do it. Perhaps you're waiting for others to do it with you or in some way. The truth is that our vut needs to be mutual, but the preparation for our vut depends on each and every one. That's it. I am now seeing in each and every one, those that I see that they really have an inclination towards the goal, I see how much a person examines. I examine those friends, I see them, and I want to be together with them. That's it. And it's an inner work, it's an emotional, internal work, but I constantly have to delve in it. That's how we acquire a kli, to feel, a vessel, to feel spirituality, to feel the Creator. If you can connect, make that connection with someone, that's it. You can connect with the Creator, it's the same thing. Because it is outside of me. Whatever is outside of the person is all the Creator. The fact He divided that external feeling to Him and the friends is in order for you to examine it practically. Yes?
Let's say there's advice, see the friend as great. What is this? I mean, how can I see the friend as great?
I look at his spark as greater towards me. Even just because without connecting with that spark, I can't reach the goal. The spark is as important as the goal, if that's the only means for me to reach it. What do I need? His big intellect or warm feelings or spiritual degree? He doesn't have it. In my eyes, I doesn't have anything like that, or mind or heart or anything. He has a spark, though. And towards that spark, I have to kneel. To bond with it. If I will, that's it. That's that. I acquired the ticket to spirituality, the vessel. That's all. That's what it's talking about. And it doesn't matter what's the person himself. That's what the Creator designed towards me. What's called my friend is that spark in him. In all the other qualities, could be a horrible person. Completely repulsive. But the spark is there. That is why it is said, love shall covereth all transgressions. You hear, Amikam? So, it's not that bad.
From southern Israel, they're asking, in the state of equivalence of form with the Creator, what do I receive from Him?
In a state of equivalence of form with the Creator, what do I get? According to the measure of equivalence of form, I receive a mind, a feeling, a connection with the Creator. And the measure, the level of adhesion of the level of eternity and perfection that he has according to my level of connection with him. It's in my vessel of Yosha, I receive the vessel of Igulin. Well, okay, we'll sketch it. This means that we have a circle, and Yosher that comes down from it, and another circle, and another line, and so on. That's how the system is built. The more I exert myself, say from below upwards, I made an effort, then I rose to the first circle. So that's called revelation of the Creator. That's my measure of equivalence of form. Now I make further effort. I discover another level. Each time, this line is the Zad, the Ga is the circle. I can't work against the Ga, I just attain it as a result of the adhesion. And this is where the whole ladder of 125 rungs are.
What does it mean in the Yosher?
Yosher, the line, means the effort I make towards connection. Nullifying myself, screens, masachim, connection with the others, to the extent I made it, I come to revelation of the Creator, which is the circle. It's a mini model of the world Ein Sof.
From the United States, they're asking, Jesse's asking, what does it mean, this internal connection with the friends? Can you help us scrutinize this? What is this internal connection?
The inner connection is in between the sparks. In each of us, there is me, and next to me there is a spark, a point in the heart. There is another one. This guy is not blue, he's green. But he has the same spark. It's also a red spark. Okay? So, what do we need to connect? This. If we connect that, this connection here that we formed, that is called the kli, the vessel. It's not his spark or my spark, it's the connection between them. That's the kli. And the extent to which we make concessions for the other, for that purpose, that's where we find love. And below it, there's hatred between us. And according to the gap, we determine the size of the kli. So it's all here. It exists in each and every one. I'm telling you, the work is inside. Don't wait for anything. When a person begins to join the others this way, to look at their sparks, to want to connect with them, it's in your inner efforts. Later, you also feel it in your external attitude to things, how you relate to the group or your work, your activities, the mutual properties you have even. This is already outcomes of that inner effort they're making. If I come to connect these sparks, the bodies follow suit. They also behave differently. In short, it's all in our hands. Let's hope that we'll begin doing that at the convention in the most serious way, and I'm sure that we will understand this principle. Eventually, you come, it's always like that. You come to the state of Mount Sinai without understanding anything or know anything. So that's first.
Final announcements. World Kabbalah Conventions coming up close. The expectations, the excitement, and the questions. For this, we have an information center. You can find it on the website www.kabbalah.info. You can enter the site to prepare yourself for the Congress with all the content and clarify many of the questions there. Any additional questions, send to the email posted over there. We also have a unique broadcast that was meant for true beginners called My First Convention this Saturday evening, the 30th of October at 7 p.m. Here's a clip. Another 2 weeks, the World Kabbalah Convention is coming up. Thousands of people from around the world are preparing for this unique moment of unity. For many of us, it can be the first time in a convention. Especially for this, we have prepared a unique broadcast called My First Convention. A person receiving conditions from above that he cannot come, let's say, to the convention, does he have to make any effort to reach it? To reach any way? Yes, but not at any price. Let's say, don't rob in order to make it to the convention. You understand? 30th of October, Saturday evening, 7 p.m. Israel time, we have an open lecture from Rav Leitman in Beit Kabbalah Lam in Petah Tikva. And at 8:35, there's an open broadcast from the studio called My First Convention. Guests, questions, tips, advice, and a unique broadcast from all the heart. My First Convention, this Saturday evening, 7 p.m. Israel time. Join us. This will be from Kabbalah homes all around the world. For more details, you can find it at www.kabbalah.info. We'll end here. Have a great day, everyone.
עכשיו הזמן שלנו, עכשיו הזמן שנחזור.